Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Michael Myers. He's a screenwriter, originally from Lafayette, grew up in Lafayette, lived in Los Angeles for many years working as a screenwriter, and has recently moved back to the area for a time. And in addition to continuing to work on screenplays, he has also started a film series in Lafayette called Cane Fire Films. And we've talked over the past few months about the really interesting variety of films, Michael, that you've been bringing to the area. This past month, you showed a French animated film called The Cat in Paris, Paris, and it was nearly sold out.
Yeah, there were four seats from a sellout, so that was very, very encouraging.
Encouraging, yes, to get people out to actually go and see an independent film, a film not a lot
foreign
of people
film.
Had encountered, yes, a
yes.
foreign film.
We had a lot of French immersion students come to mm-hmm. see the film in its original language, so that was really satisfying.
Absolutely. Remind us of the other films that you've shown so far.
We started off in June with a documentary called Surviving Progress, which is kind of about the mess the world is in right now. And we followed that up with a French thriller, comedy thriller, I guess you'd call it, called Nobody Else But You. And then we had Cat in Paris in August. And this month, Saturday, we're screening a documentary called Girl Model, which is about the Russian modeling industry.
It couldn't be any more different than the other films you've shown. It's very enticing, the flyers you've been putting out. I know Cecil announced it earlier during his program and immediately gave two tickets away.
Mm-hmm.
We will be giving two tickets away just after this interview. So
great.
If you're listening, Cecil's going to be giving those away right after the interview. Well, tell us just a bit about your interest in independent films. What's so attractive to you?
Well, I'm kind of an indie guy. I kind of write independent films, and the film I wrote, The Whole Wide World, that came out in 96, was a definite independent film.
Again, based upon a book from a woman
who actually lived here. I'm Novelin Ellis, and I just like films that make you think or teach you something or have some sort of content that stays with you, and those kind of films you just don't see in Lafayette anymore. They're just been replaced by the big Hollywood monster movies, I call them, that have lots of action and lots of visuals, but not a lot of memory when you walk out of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get those indie sort of films back into Lafayette, if not on a regular basis, then at least once a month here in town over at the Light Center, which is a beautiful theater and a great presentation is very important to me. And I like to see these things the way they're supposed to be seen.
Well, the absence of indie films in Lafayette and theaters is not for lack of them. There seems to be a huge group of young screenwriters like yourself who are writing independent films, producing independent films. I mean, there are a lot of them, and they tend to make the festival circuits.
No, I don't think there's a shortage of independent films at all. It's just there's a shortage of screens that will show them.
Right.
And, you know, there are plenty of distributors that handle the films and get them out there. But usually there's only one or two a year that kind of break that independent mold and become bigger hits. And I think because of that, a lot of the studios and things like that are afraid to even take a chance on film. And it's understandable, too, because a lot of these things are not necessarily as commercial as the in-house studio productions. But they're out there. The films are out there. You just got to try and find them. And eventually they do come on DVD, but you rarely get to see them on the big screen the way the filmmakers are really want them seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting, you know, we're very proud of this burgeoning film industry in Louisiana. We talk a lot about it, and we're hopeful that that will continue and grow. But so many of those films are films that won't come to this town. Many of them are smaller. Perhaps some of them are independent that are being made in Louisiana, not necessarily in Lafayette. But it would be really nice to have a place that would show films like that.
I mean, I would love to have a Angelica-like theater here in Lafayette. And I had like maybe three screens that would show simply art films, foreign films, and independent films, like they do in some of the major cities. But, you know, I've kind of delved into it and kind of ran the numbers, and I just don't know if that would commercially it would survive. That's why we're trying to build it from the ground up with kind of this film series to get a pulse of what it's like here in Lafayette and a college town, and just see what happens. You know, I think there's there may be in the future a possibility for some, like maybe a single screen screening room or something like that, that would have something every night or four nights a week or something like that. Mm-hmm. But for now, we'll just keep it here and see what happens.
Right. And of course, many of our listeners know that the Bayou Bijou film series is on hiatus. The mm-hmm. union, the student union at UL, is being renovated and everything's being gutted right. in that building. And so that's on hiatus, a film series that has been going on since the early 70s.
Oh, yeah. I remember going to see the Bayou Bijou stuff when I was in high school, and that mm-hmm. was back in the late 70s.
That's right. It was amazing, the films we were able to see.
And I love the theater in there, too. It's a very nice theater, you know, and it'll come back at some point.
It will get beautifully renovated there. So in the meantime, you've started Cane Fire Film Series. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, you're showing them at the Light Center.
Right.
And this month, the film is Girl Model. How did you first encounter this film?
I read about it online through First Run Features, and it just looked intriguing to me. The modeling industry is, I think a lot of people don't know what it's about and how things happen in that industry. And especially this specific world where they target young girls from not necessarily impoverished areas, but in low income areas, kind of find them, snatch them out of their villages and kind of bring them to the Japanese market specifically, the Asian market specifically, because the Asians are looking for that younger kind of innocent look to their models and the way they sell things. And this is what this film was about. It follows two characters, basically. One is a model scout who is an actual ex-model, and she goes around through Siberia and picks these girls out at different kind of modeling events or, you know,
beauty contests.
I guess they call it beauty contests. They're more, you know, come out and try out and see what happens. Mm. And they travel around these different places and find these specific girls. And the other person they follow is one of the models named Nadia Vall, who she picks, and who is this 13-year-old. I mean, she's sweet. She's right out of the country. You know, she's probably, you know, almost 6 feet tall, you know, weighs 100 pounds. She's this rail thin, but kind of angelic-faced 13-year-old who was kind of thrown from Russia, Siberia, to Tokyo. I mean, she arrives at the airport with a slip of paper about where she's supposed to go. And, you know, if the filmmakers hadn't have been there to help her, she might still be wandering around Tokyo lost. Mm. And it's just kind of, I don't say frightening, but there's cause for concern about some of these girls coming from this sort of background who have never traveled internationally and kind of thrown into the mix in a foreign country.
Well, and we see the other side, the glamorous side, when we open up fashion magazines or fashion catalogs, those beautifully shot catalogs like Anthropology and these waif-like girls, many of them, and they're lovely and ethereal, but that's the only side we see.
You only see the result. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't see how this stuff kind of works and how they got there. Mm-hmm. And I think people think, well, if you're a model and you're in a magazine and they're paying you to, you know, to be in this, it's a great lifestyle.
You're successful.
You're successful. You're making money. You're mm-hmm. traveling abroad. And, I mean, you do those things to some extent. But, I don't, you know, some of these underaged 13-year-olds are much easily taken advantage of by people because they just don't know any better.
Well, they have no sophistication. Many of them, Nadia comes from a very poor family, and that's really the lure, isn't it? She wants to help her family.
Well, of course. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about it, it's here's this girl who has, you know, she's in the one percentile of girls that can probably even do this. And that in itself is an attractive offer. But there's still a lot of girls that can and are there as well and are doing it. And they churn these kind of girls out over the course of a year or 2 years and replace them with, you know, fresh new ones. Mm. And from what I understand, Well, I don't want to give away the film or anything, but Nadia, after she goes home from her stint, from what I understand, she's back in back there now, still modeling, and has gone back into the industry, which is kind of a shame, really. But at the same time, you kind of understand it.
Right, but the film isn't very open-ended as to whether that's really successful or not.
Yes, true. I mean,
now, these filmmakers have made quite a number of films.
They have.
Including a couple about Louisiana, one called Mardi Gras, colon, Made in China.
Right, right.
Very interesting. Another aspect to what we only see one side of.
Right, exactly. I have not seen that documentary. It's kind of in my to-see list. But, yes, they have come down here. I believe Pat Mears friends with them, another local filmmaker. And they the movie Girl Model has shown here before in a, I want to say their last year, year before last, in a rough cut stage. But now it's completely finished, and this is the what we'll be showing on Saturday night.
Right. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Michael Myers. He's a screenwriter. He has started a film series in Lafayette called Cane Fire Film Series. It takes place once a month at the Light Center in their theater, their auditorium. This month, the movie is Girl Model. Again, each month, the film is different. They're independent films, films that we would not normally encounter in a theater. And it's one of the things that's really nice about having you direct a series like this, or any series, is that these are films we ourselves might not find out about. You know, we think we have access to everything on the internet, but there's a lot out there.
Sure.
You just may not know, you know, what's good, what's just finished.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice to have someone directing that kind of a series.
Well, thanks. My criteria is if it's playing in New York and Los Angeles in the theater, I want it playing in Lafayette in the theater.
On the low coast.
Exactly. So, both all the films that we've released have played New York and Los Angeles and major cities. And I just want to get them here at least one night because I think they deserve a wider audience. And, you know, Lafayette deserves something which is a little more indie oriented.
Absolutely. Well, what was your response to Girl Model as a film? What did you think about
I found it really fascinating because, from what I understand, the filmmakers had a hard time making this movie. They kind of did it, I don't want to say on the fly, but, you know, it was an evolving process because they're following these people and kind of getting some information and then kind of not getting some information. And, you know, it's not the kind of film that's very heavy-handed in telling you what to think. It's kind of lays back, and you can kind of see what's happening and judge for yourself, is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a little mixture of both? And it's almost like an experience and not like a, oh, this is, you know, this is horrendous. This should not be happening, you know. And they take a laid-back approach to it, which I find kind of refreshing, actually.
Well, and I'm sure not an easy thing for them to do.
You know,
over there.
Yeah, and they kind of, you know, they can't really get involved because they don't want to manipulate the process of what's happening. But at other stages, they did have to get involved, or else things might have, you know, gone from bad to worse, and just trying to keep all the plates in the air and making it a film and making sure their subject is okay is a fine line to walk. And I think they did a good job doing that.
One I'm sure, you know, documentarians encounter all the time,
yes,
those kinds
yes.
of challenges.
And sometimes for the documentary, your film kind of comes together after it's shot. And when you're editing and finding out what to include and what not to include.
Right. I think they also made a film about Katrina called Camp Katrina. So it might be, people listening may want to look them up. That's David Redman and Ashley Sabin, and find out more about their work.
Yes.
But you can see the film this Saturday at the Light Center. That's Saturday, September 22nd at 7:30. Tickets are available the night of, or you can purchase them ahead of time.
You can purchase them ahead of time. We have $8 discount tickets via PayPal. And then the night of the screening, we'll have tickets out the door for $10. If you want to pick up tickets ahead of time, they are on sale at the Light Center and Cité d'Art downtown. Those are also $10 tickets. The discount's strictly PayPal.
Okay. And as we mentioned, Cecil gave away a pair this morning, and just after our interview is over, he's going to give away another pair.
So yeah. Our PayPal account is canefirefilmseries@att.net.
Okay, people can search for that. So I don't know, you don't want to completely give away your upcoming series, but what's next in the series?
Our next film is going to be October 27th, and it's called Nobody Walks. And this is it stars John Krasinski, Olivia Thirlby, and Rosemary DeWitt. And this is a straight narrative independent film. It was at Sundance this year. It's directed by a woman. And it's about a homewrecker movie, but it's a kind of a different take on the homewrecker movie. It's about a L.A. family who invites a friend of a friend in from New York to work on complete a film that she's doing. And the husband, I guess, is a sound expert. And she starts living with this family, and things kind of get out of hand or go from bad to worse, or, you know, and it looks interesting to me. So I'm going to bring it in and see what happens. And that'll be October 27th. It's called Nobody Walks.
All right. And we'll let people know more about that as that gets closer.
Sure.
That will be the next presentation in the Cane Fire film series at the end of October. The current presentation, Girl Model, will be shown one feature only this Saturday, 7:30 at the Light Center. Again, you can get tickets in advance through their PayPal account, or you can pick them up at the Light Center or get them at the door. But remember, it almost sold out
last time.
Month.
Yeah. You can also call me. We have a will call number you can call, which is area code 337-356-5153. And if you call that number, I can hold tickets for you too for will call at the door.
All right. And I think you have a Facebook page as well.
The Facebook page is www.facebook.com/Canefire Film Series.
All right. And you keep people up on what films are.
Yes. We update that sucker about every 2 days about either a review or a trailer or something, and different films that are coming in. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty diligent about keeping that thing up and running and going.
Very, very useful site if you like films, especially if you want to keep up with this film series. Mm-hmm. That's on Facebook, Cane Fire Film Series. Again, my guest, Michael Myers, a screenwriter himself, from Lafayette, grew up in Lafayette, lived many years in Los Angeles, and is back here for a while and sharing his knowledge about films with all of us in this film series. Girl Model, find out more. You can take a look on the web. Take a look for these directors, David Redman and Ashley Sabin, and find out more about their work as well. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming by to let
us
know about Girl Model and for doing the series, spending all this time and energy creating it for us.
It's fun. I like doing it, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And thank you both. If you would like a pair of tickets to see Girl Model screening this Saturday evening, 7:30 p.m. at the Light Center, I'll take caller number 3 here at the studio line. It's 482-6991, 482-6991. Caller number 3 wins a pair of tickets to Girl Model, the Cane Fire Film Series presentation for this month.
Thank you.
Music composed by Philip Glass from the film Koyaanisqatsi. This is KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles.
And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Rose Hoffman-Cormier and Linda Rose. Linda Rose is the chair of the Breast Center of Acadiana Foundation. Rose Hoffman-Cormier is a board member of the foundation. And the two of you are here to talk about the second annual Paint the Town Pink event. I have to note, y'all are both wearing different shades of pink as well.
Go pink.
I assume that last year's event was quite successful since you all are doing it again this year. Yes.
Was very, very successful for being our first fundraiser. Mm-hmm. The foundation is new, developed in 2010. So this is our second fundraiser.
Well, tell us about the foundation, Linda. You're the chair and have been since you all started. What was the idea behind it? What is the mission of this foundation?
The mission of the foundation is to provide services, support, encouragement to the women of Acadiana before and after the diagnosis of breast cancer. Before breast cancer, to provide screening services, get women to comply with screening mammography guidelines so that breast cancer can be detected earlier. Mm-hmm. And, of course, after breast cancer, to provide networking and support services for those women who have been diagnosed.
Mm. And how do you all do the first part? How do you disseminate that information and try to get women to be aware of these tests and the importance of them?
Yeah, we have quite a few. We have quite a few partners in this community, mm-hmm. who work with us, who work with physicians, mm-hmm. as well as other organizations, and we've formed somewhat of a coalition to get that word out and just to ensure that we're not duplicating services. Right. And so it's worked extremely well. And of course, some of the facilities that we partner with have wonderful services to provide as well. But we try to get the word out. We do have grants that allow us to provide free screening mammograms to women who are uninsured or underinsured.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some people must wonder, I work in an organization that revolves around news. I hear a lot of news. But even with all of the information that I get, it sometimes seems a bit confusing with, different studies coming out constantly and some seeming to contradict. And I'm sure there must be a challenge for your organization to try and keep all that information straight and to get the most current and correct knowledge out there.
Absolutely. One of the things we found, though, to be very important is to make sure that the information we're disseminated is sanctioned by the major organizations, mm-hmm. American Cancer, American College of Radiology, Society of Breast Imaging, the organizations who really prepare those guidelines and who have dealt with the large studies and really can piece together the facts.
Right. So you're not just sort of in the wind responding to every single news piece that comes out.
No. Yeah. No. And our radiologist is very adamant about reviewing, mm-hmm. All the data that is placed out there to ensure that it is all correct.
Right. And then afterwards, what kinds of support groups do you all offer?
We have two support groups now. One support group is called Elaine's Sisters of Hope, named after a beautiful nurse who made a real difference to many of our survivors. She actually lost her battle to breast cancer, but to memorialize Elaine, this group formed 5 years ago, and more mature women who meet once a month, Tuesday, third Tuesday of every month at 5:30 at Breast Center of Acadiana. Then the second group are a group of young women who were diagnosed under the age of 40, called themselves the Pink Ribbon Divas, and that group was just developed about a year and a half ago, and I love to go to their meetings and listen in, because someone said, oh, I thought I was going to walk into a room that was very dark and very gloomy, and then when I walked in, I heard all this laughter coming down the hallway. And so they really do share, they laugh, they cry, but they're there for each other. And I'm there to help them develop more resources to help them through this journey.
And of course, you're honoring the Pink Ribbon Divas this year for the Paint the Town Pink event.
Yes, exactly. Yes, can't wait for everyone to meet them.
Well, for those tuning in, I do want to tell them that my two guests are with the Breast Center of Acadiana's Foundation. Linda Rose is the chair of that foundation board, and Rose Hoffman Cormier is a board member, very active and involved in our Lafayette community with many great causes. You're here to talk about the second annual Paint the Town Pink event. All are invited. You don't need to be a member of the support group or the foundation. Everyone is invited to attend. And that's going to be taking place actually a week from today, September 26th, next Wednesday. And what are you doing? How are you celebrating? How are you hoping to draw people to this?
Well, we'd love for people to come out and learn more about our foundation and what our hopes and dreams are for the Lafayette community, or I should say the Acadiana community, and to meet our young Pink Ribbon Divas, as well as some of our other survivors. We'll have a program where we tell everyone exactly what the foundation has accomplished in 2 years and what our goals are for the future. There'll be some wonderful music and great sushi and, an art silent auction featuring local artists and their work.
And I want to make a note about, you said some great music. David Egan will be performing. He's definitely a friend of KRVS's.
Yes.
And I believe a cancer survivor himself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
And so he has great empathy and sympathy.
Absolutely.
So definitely everyone listening to KRVS has heard David Egan's music at some point on any number of our shows here. So they definitely know that that'll be a lot of fun to hear his music.
Absolutely.
And, so it's going to be taking place at Tsunami in downtown Lafayette.
Correct.
And so you mentioned that there will be obviously food.
Yes.
So Rose, maybe kind of describe how the evening's going to go. Linda's mentioning that there will be a presentation.
Yes. Well, from 7 to 9:30 p.m., the event will take place. All the proceeds that we do make on this event, we will help to support the Breast Center of Acadiana Foundation and their work to fight breast cancer in Acadiana. If people are interested in more information about this particular event, they can give us a call at 456-7479, or they can go to breastcenterofacadiana.com. And they can find more information there. We're very excited about having it at Tsunami. This is the second time that we're doing it there. The food is amazing, as you probably already know. Then they'll have cocktails such as beer, wine. And last year, that was the first time they had a signature pink drink. And again, they're going to have another signature pink drink. And that's part of when you do come to this particular event. They can, purchase their tickets by calling us and finding out more information about it there. And when you mentioned David Egan, I got to know him quite well when we did the Dream of the Marionettes. And that's when I found out that he was a cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. So, again, I was very excited to see that we had David Egan. Yes. That's going to be performing that night. We're very excited. And we have some wonderful paintings and art that is going to be there for silent auction.
Who are some of the
artists? Can we give out that information, or is it a surprise?
I think that's a surprise. But very well-known local artists who have very generously donated their paintings.
All right. Well, that will be worth going there as well to see their generosity and their talent.
Absolutely.
As well.
And the other thing to mention is tickets are available as well at the door.
Okay, so you don't have to get them ahead of time.
Right. If you don't purchase your ticket ahead, you can certainly purchase your ticket there at the door.
Okay. Something in Lafayette we do a lot of.
Yes, absolutely.
Making those decisions at the last minute. We are talking about the second annual Paint the Town Pink event. Mm-hmm. Again, it is a fundraiser for the Breast Center of Acadiana's Foundation. It's in its second year now. Linda Rose, my guest, is the chair of the board of the foundation, and Rose Hoffman Cormier is on the board. Now, I notice here that dress is dressy casual. Are you encouraging pink?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure the pink divas will be wearing
pink. Divas will be wearing pink.
They'll probably be pink boas and everything else. So.
Yeah. Well, again, just to mention the different shades that you all have and the lovely accessories you have, people can be quite creative with that as well.
Absolutely.
And do you all have like a website or a Facebook page where people can go to find out more information?
We do. Mm-hmm. It's breastcenterofacadiana.com. You will see the event on the homepage of our center website.
Okay. And also Facebook.
It is on Facebook.
Okay.
And information about the two different support groups that you all have.
Definitely on our website, yes.
Want to find out more.
Yeah. And we encourage, they're both really wonderful group mm-hmm. of ladies and, as I said, really have fun together, even though they're facing some difficulties, mm-hmm. but they are facing them with much strength and courage.
Absolutely. And certainly attending this second annual Paint the Town Pink event will help with your efforts and will certainly add to their celebration and spirits as
Absolutely.
Well attending there.
Absolutely.
How long have you been involved in working with cancer survivors, breast cancer?
That's a good question.
It's a good question. And it's been over 30 years.
So you're very committed to that.
Yes, it's a passion. Mm-hmm. And I tell so many people how wonderful it is to have a career that's a passion.
Yeah.
It makes
In those 30 years, what are some of the most hopeful differences you've seen? What has changed a lot in that time?
Well, in the 30 years, we've seen a really significant decrease in breast cancer mortality because of screening. And that's why we feel very strongly about women being compliant with their screening. And of course, the equipment has changed dramatically. The digital equipment is phenomenal. And pretty much at our center, we were electronic. So dealing with all the film from years back and all the patient folders is definitely a thing of the past. It makes you more efficient. It makes the time of the visit very efficient for our patients. Our screening patients are in and out of our center in about 15 minutes. Mm. And you know, with women's lives today, it really does encourage them to come and have their mammograms because it's a fast procedure.
Right. And just all of the procedures, I'm sure, that go more quickly just lifts people's spirits in a difficult time.
Yes, exactly.
Hours and hours.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And of course, regulations in mammography have really changed and have become much more stringent than they used to be. Mm-hmm. And so it's you have to, breast imaging facilities have to be accredited through the Mammography Quality Standard Act. Mm-hmm. And so that really, you have to really produce and your data on the quality that you are performing. And I think that's so important, mm-hmm. you know, be nice to have that in many other specialties.
Right. And just the very fact that you all are here and you're talking about support groups and, mm-hmm. You know, the pink ribbons, people talk about pink, people feel very comfortable about talking about breast cancer mm-hmm. and creating groups. And there seems to be just generally a much more hopeful sense to the whole.
You're absolutely right. Right. And the fact that detected early, there's like a 98% survival rate. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, is very encouraging and powerful to women who are diagnosed. Yes, I think it really, you know, really makes a difference.
Mm, and how gratifying for you, having worked in it so long, to see it come so far.
Absolutely.
And to be at this stage as well. Linda Rose, chair of the Breast Center of Acadiana Foundation, a nonprofit organization helping to encourage people to get screenings and give information, as well as to have support groups, one called the Pink Ribbon Divas, who will be honored next Wednesday at their event, the second annual Paint the Town Pink event. And Rose, what has been your experience working with this organization?
Well,
how has it affected you?
It's been wonderful because actually when I was out of work last year, I was able to be a part of the program that they have for the underinsured and uninsured.
I always
get it confused. Mm-hmm. And so they were able to help me with a mammogram last year, and they did find a little something in the mammogram. And immediately, that's what's so great about it, it's so fast, I was told that I need to come back for an ultrasound. And happy to say that it turned out okay. It ended up being just a little mm-hmm. fluid cyst. But you know, I can say that they actually helped me even mm-hmm. before I was on the board. I've known Linda a long, long time mm-hmm. and Dr. Matthews, and I think they're wonderful people. And what they're trying to do in the Acadiana area is amazing. Last year they were able to get a grant from the Susan G. Komen organization to help with the uninsured and underinsured with mammograms. And it was in three parishes, I believe, Lafayette Parish. And what were the other two parishes?
Lafayette, Vermilion, and Acadia.
And what they would do is if women could qualify, they'd give a call and find out mm-hmm. if they could qualify, and they would go with a van and pick them up in their particular parish at one location and then bring them to have their mammogram. And another thing I love about them is their big goal is to one day have a mobile mammogram unit. And so they can go to them. And they actually got another grant this year from the Susan G. Komen organization. And now they're going to try to take care of the 8 parish area. It's exciting.
That is very exciting. And I'm sure the van will be decorated beautifully.
We have the ways to go.
Oh, yes.
But
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, if you'd like to find out more about the Breast Center of Acadiana Foundation, you can do so online or their Facebook, or you can attend the event next Wednesday. Again, a fundraiser for the foundation, Paint the Town Pink. This is their second annual event, and they are honoring the Pink Ribbon Divas, a support group for breast cancer survivors under the age of 40, a very important support group that they have. Well, thank you both for taking the time to come and tell us about the foundation and Paint the Town Pink. We hope you have it for many, many years to come. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about what's coming up?
I think that's it. Right.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you very much,
Judith. And don't forget, David Egan playing.
Yes. Yeah. I might even sing.
A musician of great heart.
He doesn't know that yet.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Next Wednesday, it starts at what time?
7.
7 o'clock, and that is downtown at Tsunamis. Thank you both.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. The group Creative Action, in partnership with the Urban Land Institute of Louisiana, has a competition for six downtown sites in Lafayette. It's called Imagine Downtown. They are inviting individuals, students, and professionals to participate. Each of the six sites has a unique strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities, and you can select one or more of these sites and propose specific solutions to the challenges. For more information, you can go to the Creative Action website, creativeactionacadiana.org, and find out more about the competition and the guidelines and the registration. And that closes on October 15th, so you have some time yet to register for the competition. The Lafayette Art Association has an exhibit on display now called Put a Cork in It. There will be a reception and silent auction this coming Sunday in the afternoon, I believe, from 2 to 4, 4 to 6, and that will be at the Lafayette Art Association on St. Mary Boulevard. That's 1006 East St. Mary Boulevard. At the Hilliard University Art Museum, also on St. Mary Boulevard, a collection of exhibits opened up this past weekend featuring Louisiana artists originally from Louisiana, perhaps now living elsewhere. In Gallery A, The Rhyme and Reason, The Art of Sean Major, that will be up through December. Louisiana Voices, Six Artists Speak to Us, that includes the art of Troy Duga, Amy Guidry, Linda Dotrill, Marjorie Pearson, Melissa Bona, and Lisa Osborne. And those Louisiana artists will be in the exhibit through December 8th. A collection of Louisiana watercolorists, and then Ken Kotara's Viaticus. It is an installation of 18 ceramic boxes with patterns of footprints in them, which are growing native Louisiana plants. And over time, the plants fill the footprint and masking the original clarity of the shape. Those are all on display at the Hilliard through December 8th. For more information, you can go to their website, which is museum.louisiana.edu. The Friends of the Lafayette Public Library continue their fall book sale. This evening it goes until 6 o'clock, and tomorrow, Thursday, the sale goes from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Hyman Convention Center Ballroom on South College Road. This helps the Lafayette Public Library system. Books are priced by the inch. The Stage Monkeys of Lafayette present improv theater at Theater 810 tonight, 7:30. Tickets are available by calling Theater 810 at 484-0172. Tonight at the South Regional Library Meeting Room, a special program called Cajun Healing Traditions, Traiteurs. Traiteur Alain Simon will be discussing the vanishing traditions that have been handed down through the decades here in Louisiana. He'll be sharing his personal experience as a traiteur in Acadiana and the history of this folk healing tradition. That's from 6:30 to 7:30 this evening in the South Regional Library Meeting Room. That's on Johnston Street in Lafayette. In Lake Charles tonight, an evening of poetry and prose with Patrice Melnick and Eric Cormier. That will be doors open at 6:30, readings begin at 7 at Stellar Beans in downtown Lake Charles. That's at 319 Broad Street. Eric Cormier is a native of Lake Charles. Patrice Melnick is a writer and has a literary art series in Grand Coteau, Louisiana. A free lecture will be given tomorrow evening in Lake Charles in Stokes Auditorium. David Ouellette will give the lecture entitled Hearth of Sky, Conceptions of Time and Space Among the Ancient Maya. It's a free lecture. Starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening on the McNeese campus in Stokes Auditorium. Tomorrow evening, Thursday night in Grand Coteau, there will be a multilingual open mic. This free event features poems, songs, and stories performed in different languages. If you read or speak a different language, you are invited to bring something to share, a poem, song, story, or you can just go and listen to the variety of music and poetry. That's tomorrow evening. It starts at 7 o'clock and goes until about 9:30. That's in Grand Coteau at Casa Azul, 232 Martin Luther King Drive. The Eunice Players Theater opens on Golden Pond. Tonight, there's a dinner theater. All the tickets may be sold out for that, but you can call the Eunice Theater. And then it opens its regular evening performances tomorrow night at the Eunice Players Theater. That is right next door to the dinner theater. For tickets or more information, their website is eunicplayers.blogspot.com or go to their Facebook page. This is On Golden Pond, directed by Vincent Barra, a production of the Eunice Players Theater. On Friday morning on the UL Lafayette campus, Dr. Michael Bakken, who is a professor of ethnomusicology, will give a free talk entitled Sculpting the World in Sound, Symbol and Meaning in Indonesian Gamelan Music. That's from 10 a.m. to 11 in Augel Hall in room 153. It's a free program and all are invited. It's sponsored by the UL Lafayette Percussion Ensemble and the Dr. Tommy Como Endowed Chair in Traditional Music. This Friday, the series Downtown Alive continues in Park International with the group Soul Track Mind. The music starts at about 6 o'clock. The original play Promises by Germaine Warner continues this weekend at Cité des Arts, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Tickets for the play are available by calling Cité at 291-1122. In Lake Charles, the Louisiana Choral Foundation's Masterworks Chorale will launch its season with a dinner musical review titled Louisiana, the Brightest Star. That's this Friday, September 21st at 6 o'clock. And there will be an original musical review performed by members of the chorale celebrating Louisiana's bicentennial. And this celebration gala will be at Paxton Hall of First United Methodist Church in Lake Charles from 6 to 9. Tickets are available by calling 337-491-9348 or going to their website, which is www.lachoral.org. And again, that's a special dinner musical review from the Louisiana Choral Foundation's Masterworks Chorale. Louisiana Folk Roots will be holding a series of workshops, cooking workshops. The first one will be this Saturday at Vermilionville. Leading the workshop will be Roddy Romero, musician Roddy Romero, and Chef Pat Mold. Roddy Romero will be teaching people how to make shrimp, crab, and poached egg fricassee. And then Chef Pat Mold will be teaching you how to make Creole potato salad. That will be this Saturday, the 22nd, from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Vermilionville. This is a part of Louisiana Folk Roots. To register, you can call Louisiana Folk Roots or go to their website or call Vermilionville. The Gaines Center and the UL Lafayette Creative Writing Program present a special reading this Saturday. Poet Tracy Brimhall will be reading from her work. She is the author of Our Lady of the Ruins, selected by poet Carolyn Forshay for the 2011 Barnard Women Poets Prize, and she's won quite a number of other prizes as well. She will be reading in the Ernest J. Gaines Center this Saturday, September 22nd at 3:30 in the afternoon. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, you can call the Gaines Center, which is in Dupre Library, or you can contact Daniel Smith here at UL Lafayette in the English department. The Skyliners Big Band will hold their next dance this Saturday, September 22nd. It's their fourth dance of the season. They are a 20-piece jazz orchestra that has been preserving and performing dance music, big band music, since 1950 in our community. All are welcome at the Petroleum Club in the Oil Center, 7:30 to 11. Tickets are available at the door. The Skyliners are a nonprofit organization, again, that have been preserving this great music and performing it for us all. You can purchase individual tickets or go as a group on Saturday, 7:30 at the Petroleum Club. The Acadiana Symphony Orchestra opens its 28th concert season this Saturday, September 22nd, 7:30 at the Hyman Performing Arts Center. The concert is called The Four Corners of Europe and will feature guest artist Hungarian violinist Gyula Stuhler. We'll be speaking with Mariusz Smoly, conductor of the symphony, tomorrow about this opening concert of their 28th season. In Lake Charles on Saturday, the 22nd, there will be a reading in the Stream Alumni Center. Deborah Monroe, who is an award-winning fiction writer and professor in Texas, will be reading from her works. This free event is sponsored by the McNeese Creative Writing Program. The Lafayette Recreation and Parks Department is hosting a special program this coming Sunday, September 23rd. They, along with the New Orleans Saints, are hosting Punt, Pass, and Kick, and that will be for youngsters between the age of 6 and 15. That competition will be Sunday, September 23rd at 4 p.m. All of the activities will be at Clark Field on Park Avenue in Lafayette. It's free, but you need to bring a copy of your birth certificate at the registration. Registration forms can be filled out online at NFLPPK, Lafayette Recreation and Parks Center as well. You can call them in Girard Park. The Friends of the Humanities will host the annual Gloria Fierro Lecture Series. This year it is highlighting improvisational jazz. So it is a presentation and lecture that will be next Thursday, September 27th at 11 in the morning. It's the UL Lafayette Faculty Jazz Combo. It's free to get in at 11 o'clock and all are invited to attend. There's parking across the street in the Earl K. Long Gym parking lot. We'll be speaking next week with Dr. Garth Alper, who is a member of the Lafayette, the UL Lafayette Faculty Jazz Group, and we'll be talking with him about their group and that performance for the Gloria Fierro Lecture Series next week. McNeese Theater's 73rd season will open next week on the 26th with Aldi Girgis' play The Last Days of Judas Iscariot. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, you can stop by our website, which is krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button and downloading our weekly schedule. You can also take a look at individual programs, and if you click on a program you like, many of our locally produced programs have podcasts of shows, recently produced shows. You can listen to the archive version there on our website or download them for listening to later on. And you can always support KRVS easily and securely at our website. Find out the many ways to support us. Click on the support button. Find out more about program underwriting, individual contributions and membership, or perhaps donating a vehicle to KRVS if you have one taking up room in your driveway or garage, car, truck, motorcycle, boat. You can get rid of it and give it new life by helping KRVS. Right on our homepage, there's a big red button that says car donation. Click it, fill out information about your vehicle, or call that toll-free number on that page as well. So many ways to help your favorite radio station. Stay tuned to KRVS this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 until 6. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. At 7 o'clock, it's Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired. At 8, Mr. Bob Gushereau's Music of Yesteryears. At 9, Lee Kleinpeter's Big Band Swings. At 10 o'clock, Selected Shorts. At 11, it's Music from the Hearts of Space. In just a moment, we join NPR's All Things Considered.